risen Christ. You show us the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Speak to us now as the scripture is read and proclaimed, that we may know your presence and be filled with gladness in our hearts. Amen. So it is sometimes happens that I change my mind on which scripture passage I'm going to read, and sometimes I remember to tell Jana, and this time I did not. So our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospels, but instead it's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd who calls you by name. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What they had expected to see was the final resting place of a man who, they thought, was pretty amazing, but who apparently was not as great as they thought he was. They had expected to see not their friend, their teacher, their master, but rather merely where he had been buried. They had expected to continue their ritual of mourning for their friend and teacher, and in a way to put aside, to bury the hopes they had placed in him and the opinion they had held of him. But they had expected wrong, for instead they encounter the unexpected, the strange, the angelic. And then they, the one Mary and the other Mary too, they see him, the one they did not expect to see, the one whose body had been buried in the ground, the one whose promise had been buried in their hearts, the one whom they had within themselves no hope of seeing. Jesus is with them, alive, raised by God from death to life. And they respond with joy, falling to their knees so they may grasp his feet and worship him, showing him that they now see him as truly the Son of God, and that all they had known of him before and more was true. For they are confronted with the joyful truth that God has said yes to Jesus, and with that yes ringing in their ears and echoing in their hearts, they themselves are empowered, compelled to say yes. I like commercials. They make me laugh. Sometimes they make me get a little teary. There was this car commercial on TV a while back. I think it's probably may have been the first in a series of Subaru commercials in this vein, but it's pretty cute. It has this mom talking about how they got a Subaru when her daughter was born, and it was in the safety of that famously Safe Cars, Safe Back Seat, where so many special moments happened for her daughter, who now is no longer in the back seat, but rather as a teenager sits in the front. The commercial goes quickly through different stages of this girl's life, quickly by means of flashback from infancy through toddlerhood all the way to teenagerhood. And one of the first snippets in that heartwarming sequence of flashbacks is the mom saying how it was in this very car that her baby girl said her first word. And then you hear in a voiceover a toddler saying quite firmly and decisively, "No." Her first word. I just love that, because really we all know how true it is. Sure, not every child's first word is no. It might be mama or mine or binky or something else, but no is quite typical. And it fits with our experience of children, because it seems that a necessary part of developing as a person is the ability to say no. Some call it differentiation. Others call it the terrible twos. And still others just call for help. Whatever you call it, there's no denying. When a baby begins to say no, then truly that baby is developing personality. Now, this capacity for no is not a simple matter. Rather, it is a bit of a mixed bag. There's good and bad with no. It's not like the more you say no, the more mature you are. No can be not only the sign of developing personality and ego strength, it can also be the sign of a rigid and inflexible attitude that is far from maturity. And that can cause problems. Sadly, some people never seem to get out of the no stage. They're perpetually negative, responding to every possible circumstance with rejection and criticism. Their entire existence, it seems, revolves around refusal and is determined by that one little word, no. Others, though, have had all the no beaten out of them, and they find it difficult to say. For them, their strategies for self-preservation are expressed through their being or appearing to be agreeable. But in saying yes to everyone else, they have said no to themselves over and over again. And even though yes is always on their lips, their hearts are a swirling cauldron of no. I don't understand for sure why it is that no has to be such an important word for our sense of self. But as we see in the perpetually negative and in the pathologically positive, no appears also to be a sign of our weakness, our brokenness. No starts out as the way to embrace and convey personality, but it quickly gets corrupted, leading to conflict, abuse, sorrow, and self-hatred. It has come to this. Many have trouble seeing life in any other way than under the shadow cast by no. We live in a world filled with no, in which rejection, rancor, division are all used to identify and settle. A world of so much no, the constant word spoken in politics, in commerce, in divorce, in criminal justice, in war, and let's be honest, in religion. We have come to identify ourselves by what we reject rather than by what we affirm. We live with a lot of no. We live with a whole lot of no. But today, the word is yes. Easter is about yes, God's yes. That's the meaning of Easter. That's what the resurrection of Jesus means. The resurrection is God's yes to Jesus, who ate with sinners and fed the multitudes, who taught the crowds and healed the sick, who blessed the poor and challenged the rich, In raising Jesus, God said yes to Jesus. In raising the incarnate Son from death to life, God the Father said yes to his Son. In raising Jesus, God said yes to him whose entire ministry, so full of blessing and promise, appeared to end with suffering, with sorrow, with agony, with death, with no. Think for a moment about what it would have meant if that had been the end of it all. If cross and tomb and decay were the final word about Jesus. If the Father had not acted to raise Jesus, it would have meant God's no to all that came before. It would have meant God's rejection of the ministry of Jesus. It would have meant that Jesus was not the Messiah. It would have meant that Jesus was wrong and those who killed him were right. Jesus would have been just a crazy rabbi at best, or a dangerous heretic at worst. And following him would have been just as crazy or heretical. Without the resurrection, without God's approval of Jesus, without God's yes spoken in an empty tomb and through a Jesus made alive, what sense would it make to follow Jesus? What sense would it make even to follow his example? What sense would it make to say yes by following him, accepting him, praising him, adoring him? Any yes said to Jesus by disciples, by Christians, then or now, makes sense only because of a yes from God, the yes of resurrection. But God has said yes to Jesus, and this makes it possible for us to say yes to him. You see, the skeptics, the scoffers, the opponents of Christian faith in the risen Jesus, some of them with books detailing their opposition, they have it wrong. It's not the faith of the disciples that creates a myth of resurrection. Instead, it's the reality of the resurrection, the truth of God's raising Jesus from the dead, that creates the faith of those who believe in him. It's God's yes to Jesus that brings about our yes to Jesus. And any time we do say yes, we repeat the Easter joy as we, like the two Marys who first saw Jesus, grasp Christ's feet and worship him. Yes, truly, the resurrection is God saying yes to everything about Jesus that came before. By raising Jesus the Son, truly the Father affirms his Son's ministry, identifies with his suffering, and embraces his death. With the empty tomb, God drew close to the cross, taking it into his own being, and with it everything that came before in Christ's ministry. And so God is saying that who God really is can be known only in close connection with the entire ministry of Jesus, from the manger to the cross. When God the Father raised the Son of God from death to life, God was saying, yes. Yes, I'm near to those who suffer. Yes, I forgive sinners. Yes, I befriend the ashamed. Yes, I show mercy to the unworthy. Yes, I welcome into the kingdom those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Yes, I give living water to those who thirst. Yes, I give the bread of life to those who hunger. Yes, I befriend the enemy. Yes, I celebrate the prodigal's return. Yes, yes, truly yes. That's what the Father says in raising his Son, the incarnate Son, the incarnate one in Jesus of Nazareth, from death to life. And when we are joined to Christ, then we can say yes as well. Every little yet holy yes we utter, by itself weak and ineffective, being joined to the glorious yes formed in eternity and spoken into time. In and to a world full of no, we too may say yes. Yes to those who suffer. yes to sinners, yes to the ashamed, yes to the unworthy, yes to the persecuted, yes to the thirsty, yes to the hungry, yes to enemies, yes to prodigals, yes, yes, truly yes. My friends, the resurrection is God's yes to Jesus, and it is also God's yes to us. May it be our yes as well. As we live in the light of Easter joy, may God give us the grace to be more and more people of the yes of the risen Jesus Christ, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please pray with me. Lord, you have spoken yes in the resurrection from the dead of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thereby you have spoken yes to us. Enable us, embrace us to hear your yes and to live accordingly, repeating in our words and in our actions your yes. Amen and amen.